So this morning, does anybody here like making flat pack furniture? Anybody like doing flat pack furniture? Yeah? Some of you? Because I've got a bit here that I started, but I haven't finished yet. And I need somebody to come and finish with me. I get fed up with flat pack furniture, I have to say. I don't have what it takes to finish anything like this. So could somebody just come up and finish it for me? I'd be very grateful. Reuben, it has to be you then, because you're the one who said so. Round of applause for Reuben, please. Thanks, Reuben. Yeah. So I just want to assure you that everything you need is there, okay? Everything's there, it just needs finishing. So if you could just do it without making too much noise, that would be absolutely fantastic. So whilst Reuben's doing it, Robert's going to come and read our passage for today. And goodness me, we've got students galore here this morning. Robert's going to read, if you've got your Bibles or you want to switch on your app, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And Robert very casually is going to get his phone out of his pocket and read it to us.
Yeah, so I'm reading from 2 Book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Confirming one's calling and election, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks very much, Robert. Thank you. He's doing an amazing job, isn't he? Don't you think? I bet you were watching that more than listening to the Bible, weren't you? Yeah, I know what it's like. Reuben, you are an expert, doing very well indeed. You might get repetitive strain injury from this, I guess, but that's absolutely. I've no idea why I've asked him to do that today, but maybe I just needed it finishing, to be honest. If anybody else has got anything unfinished, just bring it in, and Reuben will finish it for you during the Bible reading. It will be absolutely fine. Should we just give him a moment? Just hold, no round of applause just yet. He's got one more to do, okay? And then he can go and sit down. It's amazing. Thank you. There wasn't a piece missing, was there? Everything you needed was there, wasn't it? To complete the job, and you have done an amazing job. So I think we're ready to burst out with awe and wonder this morning. Thank you very much indeed, Reuben. Fantastic job. Beautiful. Well done, well done, well done. Now, there's a word we can say about Reuben finishing that, and I think it's the word wow, isn't it? Aren't you in awe? Should we just say it together?
Wow.
That was a bit half-hearted.
Wow.
Yeah, Reuben, wow. Now, if you did happen to listen to that reading that Robert read to us this morning, what do you feel about that, those words?
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. I hope you felt wow anyway, because every time I've read this passage this week, it's like I'm overwhelmed and bombarded by everything that Peter writes in this introduction to this second letter. And it's like being in a toy shop as an 8-year-old, isn't it? You go to the toy shop and you stand at the door and you just say,
wow.
Hey, this is going well this morning. This could go. Make sure you keep it. And this sort of wow, I think, is just an antidote to religion that I think Peter is trying to help us to avoid. Because, you know, religion is simply based on what God wants from us, before he will give us anything. It's sort of like a transactional thing. That if we do what we do, then God will do what he does. And religion is all about how can I impress God and how can I get more from him and how can I ensure that he's going to give me everything I need. Well, I'll do everything I can and then hopefully he might end up giving me something in return. But when Peter wrote this beginning of this letter, this is all about a relationship. A relationship is based on everything that God wants to give you. He longs to give you. And as we are in awe and wonder of all that he wants to give, our response is to the wonders of his grace, is just in awe and wonder because everything is available to those who just ask for it. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to be anybody. We can just receive what he has to give. Can we just have a look at those first two verses again? These first two verses, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Incredible. Wow, moments that he, God, would give us in abundance these things for our benefit. Wow. Now, our text for 2025, if we can just flick to the next slide, I introduced last week, and it is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It's the very end of this letter that we have just read the beginning of today. There are some cards available just on the door there, on the table there. If you want to grab a card, then please do grab one that will see us through this year. This encouragement to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you weren't here last week and you haven't heard it, then please do catch up on YouTube. You can catch up with that introductory sermon. But here are the words, grace, knowledge, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These punctuate all of this letter that Peter wants to send to the group of people who were listening then and us who are listening today. Ours, through the righteousness of God, of who God is, his initiative, his offer, simply our responsibility to receive it and not to bury it, but to enable it to grow. So what is it that we have been given that will help us to grow, will encourage us to grow during this year? Well, firstly, Peter says in verse 3, you have been given everything you need. You've been given everything you need to grow in a way that God wants you to grow during 2025. Everything you need. I mean, that's the secret of flat pack furniture, isn't it? Before you do anything, check that you've got everything you need to finish it. Because you don't want a half-finished piece of furniture. Check you've got everything you need. And Peter's saying, you have everything you need now. Check. Finished. You have everything you need that will launch you into this time of growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything you need through his divine power, Peter says. Everything you need through his divine power. Not by our own willpower, but his divine power. We have everything we need. It's waiting for us to receive. He longs to give it to us. But what does Peter say we have divine power to do? He says we have the power to live a godly life, verse 3 says. Power to live a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So there's something that he has to give that is already his nature. We have the power to live a godly life. No matter how defeated sometimes we feel, no matter how many times you may have given up to live the sort of life you know he longs to give, he has the divine power to give you because of his very great and precious promises. When he makes a promise, he will never renege on it. His very great and precious promises are his guarantee that you have everything you need to live a godly life and participate in the divine nature. It sounds very grand, doesn't it? Of course, because it is. But that's what he's asking us to do. to live up to what it is he's given us already, to use his power, his promises, to live that godly life, to participate in who he is. So why do we try to live life without him? Why so many times this week have you gone ahead and lived life without him, trying in your own strength to fulfill his call on your life? This is not a do-it-yourself kind of God. This is a God who has done it for us, and he asks us to receive what it is that he longs to give. I guarantee that every day you will have faced some challenges about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Whether it was in the workplace where you maybe have been challenged to compromise something that you know is not the right thing to do. Whether it's in a relationship that continues to be damaged that hasn't been mended yet. Whether it's in an attitude or a character trait that you know is not of him and you long for it to be transformed into his likeness. You have been given everything you need through his divine power and his very great and precious promises to become the sort of person that he urges you to be. That's why Peter wrote this letter to these group of people. That's why it's still relevant for us today. But let's be sure of what we have in him. That's worth a wow, isn't it? I definitely think it's worth a wow. Secondly, make every effort to add to your faith, Peter says. Make every effort to add to your faith. I was thinking about this shelving. This is a bit like faith, really, isn't it? It's like a framework. This is something that is useful. I mean, it's got holes in, like most of our faith has as well. But it's like the framework that we have, the things we believe, the confidence we can have because of Jesus and what he's done. And this is the starting point for Peter. Make every effort to add to your faith. That's the starting point. When you believe in Jesus, when you confess that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved, the Bible says. This is the faith that we have, that we can be confident on. But Peter says it's not enough. You've got to add to it. There's things to add. We're called to make every effort to add, to grow, to supply, to provide lavishly, to do everything we can, if you like, to build a library, to build on the faith that we have been given. This word add, it's a beautiful Greek word. It's that epikoregeo, I think. I don't know. You can pronounce it how you like. But it's this Greek word. It's not used very often in the New Testament, I have to say. But Peter uses it for this lavish giving of everything we have to ensure that we can add everything that we can. In the ancient Greek, you'll see in there, in the middle of it, won't you, choregio. Did you know what, I mean, there's a word we have in English, don't we? Choreography, we have that in there. But the word in Greek culture meant someone who was associated with funding a performance, like a theatrical production, a very wealthy person who would back a sort of play that was going on in the theatre of their day. They wouldn't hold anything back from it. They would pay the expenses of the actors, the chorus, the cast, everybody. The wealthy person would help produce the play. And when it has this prefix epi, it intensifies the action. It suggests an even greater level of provision. The generous and abundant giving of ourselves to add to the faith that we have, to hold nothing back in our striving to be the sort of people that grow more into the likeness of the people God wants us to be. Because God has held nothing back from us. His grace is sufficient for every time of need. It's amazing grace that he has to give us in our lives. So make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to grow. Give everything you have in order to develop the character that God is looking for from us. I think the problem with the English of make every effort, we read it as like we must try harder. I don't know whether you ever got that in your school report, did you? Must try harder? Anybody get that in their school report? It's teacher speak for lazy, you know that, don't you? That's all it means. It just means your son, your daughter is lazy. That's all it means. And the trouble is we see make every effort. We think, oh, how am I going to do it? How am I going to manage? I've got to make every effort to do it. Well, trying is not going to add to your faith. Trying is not going to do it. Just as trying is not going to enable me to do a surgical procedure on a patient. I don't really want to try, but trying is not going to be enough. Trying is never going to help me to run a marathon. See, it isn't about trying, it's about training. I'm just looking down at you all here, and I was going to try something this morning. I was going to encourage us all to go outside and line up and see who could run a mile, okay? Or 1.6 kilometers. And looking at you, some of you might be able to do it, yeah? Some of you might be able to run a mile. Some of you, you wouldn't even bother to go outside and line up, would you? Because you couldn't even make that. Others of you, you might start thinking you could do it, trying so hard to do it, but after sort of 100 yards, you'd be falling on the floor and we'd have to call the paramedics in to do that, to help you out. But some of you are never going to run a mile, but some of you who couldn't today might be able to do in a few weeks' time, might be able to manage it in a month's time or 2 months' time if you started training. If every day you began training yourself to run the mile that was coming up, and every day you'd go a little bit further and you'd get a little bit fitter, and eventually you'd be able to run a mile, not by trying, but by training. Peter gives us a list of qualities to add to faith. Now, these seven qualities are not a hierarchy of qualities. It's not like add one, then the other, then the other, then the other, and eventually you'll be mature. I don't think it is a sequential sequence for us to build on. It's not like attempt one at a time until you pass the test. I think he chose these qualities especially for the people he was writing to, but of course they're all relevant for us today because it's about character formation. It's about how we're going to look more like Jesus as we train ourselves in the light of his divine power and his very great promises for us. And then on our front lines, every single day, we're going to be the people who look a little bit more like Jesus. We're going to be the people who represent him. We're going to be the people who live like him every day. Peter, in verse 8 of chapter 1, Peter says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you will be effective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, in how we act from the position of strength and confidence. So, let's add to our faith, shall we? What have we got here? There we go. Peter says, let's add goodness to our faith. Let's put that on the shelf. Peter in verse 3 talks about God's own glory and goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, Paul says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your desire for goodness and for every deed prompted by faith." What is God's goodness? Well, it's moral excellence, isn't it? It's virtue. It's the quality of someone who finishes what it is they've started. So add to your faith goodness. It's a great starting point and one that you can build from in there as well. What does he say next? He says, add to your goodness knowledge. Add knowledge to your faith. Add knowledge to your goodness. It's one of the key themes of this letter, of course, knowledge. It's part of our motto text as well. Avoiding the error of false teachers who say there's some secret knowledge of salvation only available to a few. This is about our relational experience of God and acting upon what it is that we've experienced. This isn't simply information. This is about how we work out what God is calling us to do. Add to your goodness knowledge. Self-control, Peter says next. Add self-control to this foundation of faith. The ability to exercise restraint over your actions, emotions, and thoughts. Choosing to align them to God's will and his moral standards. Now, self-control comes in Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit as well. It's something that is led by the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So maybe self-control is something that needs to be added to it. That's why we need his divine power. What else does he say we need to add? He says perseverance. Add perseverance to it as well. It was spelt wrong on the spine. I had to add a little extra R there. I'm very sorry. Here's the idea of remaining faithful and patient under pressure, maintaining one's faith despite the challenges that we have to face, reflecting a trust in God's promises and a commitment to His will as well. This isn't passive, gritting your teeth kind of thing. This is hopeful, waiting for God to fulfill His promises, to trust God in the midst of it all. By His divine power, we persevere. Godliness, an inward and outward quality, a response to who God is, what Jesus has done in our lives, helping us to live the life that pleases Him, that reflects Him in all things. Add godliness. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. It's good news for those of us that don't like running. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then he says, brotherly kindness, mutual affection, Philadelphia is the Greek word, unity, mutual care for one another, the sense of community, that we're not doing this on our own, we're not running on our own, we're running together, we're training together. We've got one another to cheer one another on in this journey that we are facing as well. You see it all through the early church, this desire for mutual brotherly affection. And then Peter says, finally add love, the sacrificial love, the agape love seen in Jesus and through the cross. The bookshelf's beginning to get filled up. Our faith is being added to, but you can't try to produce them, but you can train. And as verse 8 says, they grow in increasing measure. We get stronger, fitter, able to live the life that He's asking us to live as well. And we become effective and productive in our knowledge of Jesus. And what is God's role in all this? Well, He's not a puppet master. He's not controlling us from on high, dictating every step that we make. I like to think of Him more as a dance teacher, as a choreographer, providing everything we need to live the life He has called us to live. He hasn't abandoned us. He is with us, and we can know the truth of His presence. And He's shown us in Jesus, of course, what this life can look like. Jesus, whose character reflected all of these things, and who invites us to live in the same way. Make every effort by training to add these qualities to your life so that they become embedded in your character and you get to reflect the life of Jesus as you grow closer and closer to Him as well. So I wonder if this week you might want to reflect on each of these, and maybe already you're beginning to see, actually there's something in my life that isn't quite matching up to this. I need to do something about that. I need to train to add this quality into my life as well. And maybe this week you want to just pause for a moment and ask God to show you what it is that you can build, you can grow in your life during this season, to go into training to become all that He longs for you to be. The final thing Peter asks us to make every effort is to make every effort to confirm your calling. Peter, already in his first letter, he said in chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? So that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You know, I don't know a lot about gardening, but I do know that you need light for things to grow, don't you? You need light, and so God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, a place to grow, a place to add these qualities with increasing measure into our lives as well. And the best way to declare his praise is to live the life he called you to live, and to allow him to continue to shape you and mold you into the person that he longs for you to be. We need to remember, this is his initiative of grace. His initiative of grace is that you are his choice. You are chosen. He's called you to be his people. That's his initiative. But then his invitation of grace is, will you choose him? Will you choose to give your life wholly to him in how you live it? Choosing to reflect the very life and character of Jesus as you grow in that those qualities, that character that he has called you to live. Remember who you are, won't you? You're a child of God, called, chosen, filled with his power, receiver of his promises, participant in the divine nature, cleansed from past sins, and a rich welcome is waiting for all who will stand up and stand out. Wow. Amen. Wow. And this is what I know. This is what I believe. That when you live from his promise, when you receive his power and experience his presence, then you will grow. You will grow just as he intends you to, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to celebrate God's initiative. We're going to celebrate it around this table in the bread and the drink. We're going to celebrate it and acknowledge it and be reminded of it and share it together as part of his family and be joyful that he has taken the initiative. And we're going to respond by accepting his invitation to grow, to choose to build our life, to add to our faith, to say, God, you've given me everything I need. Today I'm going to give back to you everything I have. I'm going to lavish it on you as you continue to mold me and shape me and fill me with your spirit today. So we're going to sing the song that says, when I survey the wondrous cross. It's a song that demands a wow, really. When I look at the cross, when I look at the suffering and the pain, when I look now to see it's empty, and I know the tomb is empty, then I can only respond by offering you myself with everything I have, because God, you have given everything to me. Would you add this to my life? Would you help me to grow in a way that you want me to grow, to be effective in increasing measure as the person you've called me to be?